Hello, travelers. If you haven't already heard, we've released some new merch to our store to celebrate the finales of Juno Steel and Second Citadel. We have new posters, mugs, and shirts with Sharon O's beautiful new Juno Steel finale illustration. And of course, now might be the perfect time to pick up an I Survived the Penumbra podcast and all I got was the stupid gender sweatshirt, which is one of my personal favorite items. You can find everything at shopthepenumbrapodcast.com.
Hi there, travelers. These are the final episodes of the Juno Steel series. You are listening to part one of Juno Steel and the Case Closed. There will be a part two in 2 weeks. We just wanted to take a quick second to say thank you so much for sticking with us for, these 8 years of creating the show. It has been such a delight. We love what we've put together for you. We really hope you love it too. A couple of very quick announcements before we start. Number one, we'll be having a live post-series Q&A for patrons on Sunday, September 8th. That Q&A will eventually go out onto the feed for everybody else, but only patrons will be able to access it live. Only patrons will be able to see the video. It'll be a live stream. You'll be able to submit your questions in the chat. Besides that, another big announcement that we teased on social media the other day, but we wanted to say on the feed. We do have new projects in the works after Juno and Second Citadel are over. That's right, you heard right. We will remain extant after the end of this series. We are not going anywhere. And if you would like to find out what those projects are as early as possible, make sure that you go over to patreon.com/thepenumbrapodcast and follow us. You can do that for free, remember, to learn about it before anybody else. So if you are champing at the bit to know what our gay little selves are going to be doing next, head on over to Patreon and join us. Once again, thank you all so, so much for everything that you've done for our show, and we hope you enjoy the finale.
Good evening, traveler, and welcome to the Penumbra. Tonight's tale is Juno Steel and the Case Closed.
Just a second, Mr. Steele. I know I got the key card somewhere. That one's for my apartment. That one's for my secret stream stash. That one's for the bakery next door. Don't tell them I have a key, by the way. It was such a pain to get it. And if they change the locks, I don't know what I'm going to do when I need a midnight
snack. It's that card there. Brush metal looking. Has, you know, my name on it.
Oh, you're right. Voila! Surprise!
Surprise?
Yeah, Mr. Steele. What? You don't recognize it? I mean, it's been a few years, but...
I recognize it. I recognize the address when you told the Ruby 7 to bring us here. I recognize the building from down the street, and I recognize the office when you got lost in the building and asked me which one was our old office again.
Well, here it is! The office of Juno Steel Investigations, just the way we left it. Well, a little dustier than we left it, but still... Ain't it great?
Wow. It's just... Wow. I can't believe it. How'd you get this place back anyway? I expected we'd have to find a new office.
Oh, I never gave it up. I've been paying rent on this empty unit for years now.
Really?
Yeah, I just... You know me, I have trouble throwing things away, saying goodbye and all that. And the money wasn't a problem or nothing. I mean, I wrote a program that's been managing my investments for years now, so... Do you like it?
Of course I do. Thanks, Rita. I don't know what to say. Everything is right where it was. Your monitor, your big computer chair, the door to my office. Hell, even my old death trap of a car is still parked on the street where I left it. At least I think that's my car. It's covered in so many parking tickets I can barely see it.
You said you were ready to be a PI again, so I thought, if it ain't broke, why fix it?
Right. And I do need a job. Only thing that's broke around here is me.
What do you mean you need a job? You're still on my payroll, Buster, and don't you forget it.
Rita, it was nice of you to take me and the Ruby on vacation after that mess with the Dokana group. But you don't have to pretend it was something else. I don't want to borrow any more of your money.
No, Mr. Steele. We've been over this, and I meant what I said. Just because I took you and the Ruby to a resort planet for 3 months, and then we did a cross-galactic road trip on the way home for another 3 months, and I paid for all of it, does not mean
I loaned you any money.
Rita.
We've been down this road, and I ain't never going down it again. I hired you fair and square, and I paid you for your work. It just coincidentally happened that I paid you exactly the same amount as the race at an all-inclusive resort planet, plus 3 months' worth of road snacks.
Hired me, huh? For what company?
Rita Investigations, obviously.
The only thing you ever asked me to investigate were things like which pool got the most sun, so you could never go to that one.
Yeah, Rita's don't like getting sweaty.
Or the case of why isn't there a drink with a little umbrella sticking out of the top in Rita's hand right now, or which snack bar had the best salmon cream pies.
Well, do you think I wanted to spend my time trying all those salmon cream pies?
Rita, you eventually did try all those salmon cream pies just to see if I was right.
And you were, which means I chose you wisely. But what do you think you're doing trying to distract me when you're on the clock? You got work to do, mister, and time's a-wasting.
Work? What work?
We gotta make this office sparkle. Spick and span. You ain't gonna catch any new clients with a litter of dust bunnies running around the place. I wanna be able to eat on this floor.
Don't you mean eat off this floor?
What? Ew. No, Mr. Steele, why would I wanna eat off the floor? I just want what any red-blooded Martian woman wants, to be able to sit on the floor with a salmon cream pie without my butt getting all dusty.
Hey, if you say so. I'll get the dustpan.
And I'll stop polishing the desks. This place is gonna look so good, Mr. Steele, just the way we left it.
Just the way we left it, huh? Maybe that's the problem. My name is Juno Steele. And I'm about to be a private eye. Again. And the funny thing is, I know it's what I want. I know after everything I've been through in the past few years, the mad anthropologists and politics and brainwashing computer chips and crime and life on the run and mind-reading alien cars and undead lovers and him. What I want is to do what I love the most in the place I love the most. Solving mysteries in Hyperion City. My city. My beautiful, banged up, messed up home. This is who I want to be, truly. So, why am I so afraid of it?
So, Mrs. Steele?
Yeah?
I've been wondering, you know, since we're back here and all, have you heard from, you know?
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
You got nothing to apologize for. I told him to take some time, and he's taken some time. It's the right thing to do for both of us, so, yeah.
That don't make it easy, though.
No. No, it definitely does not.
That first week at the resort with him's real fun.
Sure was. Do you, mind if we stop talking about him for now?
Sure thing, Mr. Steele.
I couldn't blame Rita for asking about Nureyev, really. It felt like he was the part of my life everyone was waiting for a definitive answer on. Me included. Not that I have anybody to blame but myself for that. Why the hell does doing the smart thing have to feel so bad? Last time I saw Nureyev was a little less than 6 months ago. We'd spent a day or two recovering from our escape from the Dokana trash ball. Me physically, him emotionally, and Rita both, given that during my Dokana disappearance, she stress-drank enough Megafizz soda to achieve liftoff if you shook her too hard. But after that couple of days, we'd stalled as much as we could. Each of us had a question lingering. Me in the time since the Orinkos disbanded, and him in the 20 years since Dokana first caught him in their trap. What in the hell was each of us gonna do next? Rita had already bundled us into the Ruby and set course for the resort planet of her dreams, Tangaroa, the surface of which was 90% clean blue ocean, 8% tropical island, and 2% floating roller coaster, the biggest in the galaxy. A ride so long, you had to make a reservation and set aside 3 hours of your day for vomit-inducing speed. Rita had a reservation, but Nureyev and I backed out of it, so she took the Ruby in her pocket and set out for 172 minutes of spins and drops. Nureyev and I had our own kind of roller coaster to go on at the same time. The kind that spins your head and drops your stomach without moving you an inch. And we couldn't have picked a prettier time for it, honestly. Just after sunset on an empty Tangaroan beach, the sky purple as a bruise with a thin hum of light still on the horizon. It reminded me of neon street signs, that fuzzy light, which reminded me of the view out the window of my old apartment in Hyperion City. Everything was reminding me of Hyperion those days, and I was finally figuring out why.
My, this planet is beautiful, isn't it?
Sure is. Nice to get to take a break for once, too. It feels like I've been at a dead sprint non-stop since Dark Matters attacked the Carte Blanche.
I certainly know the feeling. The executive's deadlines were always hanging over my head, pushing me to move faster and faster. Even without them there. Sitting still like this feels so strange.
It's probably gonna feel like that for a while. How are you doing? You know, with slip and everything, how are you doing?
I'm not sure. I don't know how to express it without sounding very confusing.
Well, confuse me then.
I'm mourning, certainly. That feeling I've felt before. But what's surrounding it, that I understand less. Because to be frank, I'm not precisely certain what it is I'm mourning. It feels strange to have this sudden surge of loss for someone who died a lifetime ago.
Well, sure, but did you ever let yourself think of him as dead?
What do you mean?
For a few weeks after Benton died, I honestly felt... Well, fine's not the word. Pissed off at my mother, mostly. But the reality of it, you know, the fact that he was gone and would never come back, I wouldn't let it touch me. I knew he was dead, and I could say that he was dead, but I didn't feel the weight of it yet. I kept waiting for him to show up. Some irrational part of me kept feeling like, well, he's dead today, but maybe tomorrow reality will change its mind. Eventually, the feeling caught up with me, and I had to take it all on at once. But you... Hell, you had it much worse. You had people promising that he'd be back. I don't know how you're supposed to mourn through that. I don't think you can. And now you got 20 years of feelings to catch up on.
I think you may be right. I'm not sure I ever let myself feel his death. It always felt like a problem I would solve eventually. I don't even know what I hoped for, to be honest. Even if they had brought him back to life, good as new.
I mean, didn't you want to get back together with him?
Honestly, I'm not sure I ever let myself think that far ahead. Not after the first few years, anyway. What could we have done, really? He'd only had the experiences of a teenage boy, and I am very nearly a middle-aged man. By that token, I'd have made a better guardian than partner. I suppose I would have done that. Been his guardian. Helped him to acclimate to the world after his 20-year break from it. I felt I owed him that much for saving me.
Nureyev, nothing against Slip. This isn't his fault, but... The way he saved you cost him, like, 2 weeks. You spent 20 years in return. I think the scales are balanced by now.
That isn't true. I didn't give him 20 years.
Yeah, you kind of objectively did.
That isn't how it felt, though. I only ever gave him one day. Today. For 2 decades, I woke up and thought, this is what I have to do today to save him. The debt was so massive, the work to escape it so endless that I could never afford to look more than a day ahead. I'm not certain I've had a single introspective thought I didn't just file away in 20 years.
Oh, could be worse. Some people go a lot longer than that.
I think... I fear... That may be why I asked you to run away with me. Years ago, now. I had such... strong feelings for you, of course. But making that kind of decision, let's drop everything and start from zero together, that's the kind of thing you can only do if you don't seriously believe tomorrow will ever come. It's a fantasy of avoiding consequences forever. Miasma had been very lucrative for me for a time, but when I became sidetracked helping you to stop her, I fell so far behind in my payments. It was all so overwhelming, I thought... Well, I suppose I didn't think. I just needed to escape. Somehow.
That makes sense. I kind of wondered how your life actually worked at the time.
What do you mean?
Super thief roams the galaxy, stealing exclusively high-cred targets for presumably high-cred bounties, yet he doesn't have a single belonging. No home to go back to, no gentleman thief estate to manage. Hell, he even has to steal a car to get around, and he can just vanish from his own life without so much as a comms call? All that money had to be going somewhere. I just didn't know where.
And that's why you didn't come with me?
Oh, hell no. If anything, that made me want to come with you more, because it made you a mystery. I didn't come with you because, well, they weren't good reasons, I'll tell you that much. I think it's a good thing I didn't go. I had a lot more growing up to do before I could make me work, let alone us. And I needed the people around me to help me do that growing. Mick and Rita and all of them. Sometimes you do the right thing for the wrong reasons, I guess.
I have to say I envy you those connections. 20 years of work without rest, and what do I have to show for it? Not a single person. Not a single cred.
You've got people. Rita, Buddy, Vespa, Jet, me.
I suppose so.
And hang on. If you don't have any money, how are you paying to be here?
Oh, they don't know I'm here. You haven't noticed that I conveniently disappear whenever an employee comes too close?
God, you're good.
Indeed I am. Juno, I thought it through, and I'm ready.
Yeah? Ready for what?
For us. It wasn't right of me to pressure you into coming with me when we barely knew each other. I understand now how much your loved ones and your home mean to you, and I'm willing to change what I need. My life has plenty of room with my work and my debt gone. It is free for me to fill it with whatever is convenient. I could find a place in Hyperion City, learn a trade, or pick pockets, or perhaps try some white-collar crime. I hear that's very lucrative, and
Narev.
I'm ready, Juno. This next era of my life, I know what I want from it, and what I want is you. I'm ready. Truly.
Narev. You're not...
What?
You're not ready. Or maybe that's not what I mean. I'm at least confident enough to say that you're not in a place where either of us can know if you're ready right now. Does that make sense?
But I'm so confused. Forgive me for assuming, I suppose, but I thought, given that you followed me so far, I thought you wanted us.
I do. More than just about anything, I do.
Then why would you reject me?
I'm not rejecting you.
Then what is this?
Listen, the way I feel about you, I've never felt this way about anybody before. I've never loved anyone this much. I've never wanted to be with someone forever like I want to be with you.
Then we should be together. That's what people in love do.
I agree. But I think you've got some stuff to figure out first. Some of it I can maybe help with a little, but a lot of it's the kind of thing you gotta figure out on your own. I'm serious about you. And that means if we're gonna be together, I want to be together for keeps. No whirlwind tryst that flames out in a few months or a few years. Honestly, I'm not sure my heart could take another one of those. And I know that right now feels like you could just rewrite everything you want in life to fit me, but I can guarantee you're not going to feel that way forever. If we're going to make this work, we have to find a life that works for both of us.
But I'm not sure where to start. I'm so terribly out of practice in determining what I want from life.
Then that's what you need some time to figure out. And I'm guessing we'll have to be flexible, and I'm guessing it'll be hard, but it sounds worth it to me. If what you want to do is bounce from planet to planet wherever the wind takes you, and what I want to do is stick to Hyperion City, maybe we don't live together a good chunk of the time. Sometimes I go on adventures with you, sometimes you visit me, but the only way we're going to make it together is if we're complete people when we're apart. A person can't be what you want to do with your life. We can't be together every second of every day. You need a plan for who you're going to be when I'm not around.
And who will you be?
Juno Steele, Private Eye. Who else?
I envy you that, too.
What, being a PI? Sorry, only one professional snoop per couple.
No. Having a purpose. A calling. I thought I had one, but... Well, I suppose you're right. A person can't be your only purpose, or what will you do when they're gone? Why do you want to go back to being a detective, Juno?
It's... less that I want to, and more that I can't not do it, if that makes sense.
It does not.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess, depending on whether you like me or not, you'd either say that I'm curious or that I'm nosy. But the truth is a small thing, a delicate thing, easy to lose or break or hide. And there are people out there who are good at hiding it. People who ruin lives and never get caught. And if they had their way, the truth would never be found again. When I think about that, I get itchy. If they're gonna bury the truth, someone should dig it up. And I can't help but be that someone. It's what I love to do. And what I have to do. I feel pretty lucky that I have something like that, honestly.
It's hardly luck if you've worked on it for so long.
I'd say the same thing about you and thievery.
Yes. Yes, perhaps I would like to stay a thief. But... to what end, I'm uncertain.
Nothing comes to mind? Nothing besides slip that matters to you? Nureyev?
I'm just thinking. Perhaps Brahma.
Yeah? What about it?
I'm not certain yet.
Well, you don't have to know right away. We're on vacation, remember? Might as well enjoy it while we got it. And maybe we'll part ways for a little while from here, but one day, if you decide you know what you want, and you want me to, if you think through what life's got on offer and you imagine fitting me into it without losing yourself in the process, just come knocking on my door. I'll be waiting.
And if I can't find a way to make us fit with what I want?
Then we just don't work together. It's nobody's fault. It'll be sad for a long time, but it'd be worse to live a life you hate, even if it's with a person you love. I love you too much to watch you be miserable.
Yes. And I love you too, Juno. I'll think on it.
Nureyev stayed with us on Tangaroa for another 5 days. He was quieter than usual then. Sometimes I thought he was annoyed with me, and sometimes I thought he was just thinking, pushing himself to get through 2 decades of feeling as fast as he could. But feelings come and go when they like, and we don't get much say over that. And apparently the feelings got too strong to handle, because one morning I woke up to an empty bed and a short note on his pillow.
Gone in search of myself. Will knock if I find him. Wish me luck.
He had written, "Your better half," after that. Then scratched it out. That seemed like a step in the right direction to me. And I'm proud of myself, too, in a way. Proud of doing what I could to protect what matters to me, even if I had made a mistake. At least it was a new mistake. That's a kind of growing up, too. Then a month passed. And another. And another. I still thought what I had done was right. But that possibility lingering in the air, that possibility that he'd never come knocking, that he'd decide he didn't want us after all, it started to ride me. I regretted not asking for a definitive answer either way, worried that I'd spend the rest of my life wondering if I'd ever see him again. Then we, Rita the Ruby and I, came home to Hyperion City, which was nice, but... same office, same city, same job, no thief beside me. Had I really come all this way just to end up back where I started again? What proof did I have that the last few years actually meant something? What did I have to show for it?
Whew! Done and dusted. We went suns up to suns down, but the old place is looking pretty professional, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Better than it used to, honestly.
You bet it is! Now we just gotta keep it that way. After all, you never know who might come a-callin'!
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Say, Mr. Steele, you mind checking if we have any messages on the office comms for me?
You just plugged it back in an hour ago, Rita. There's no way we have a message yet.
Aw, come on. Why not just check?
Fine.
Wait, two? Really?
First message. Hello, Junebug. As I'm sure you're well aware, this is Cecil Kanagawa, star of streams and star of your dreams.
What the hell?
Uh-oh.
A little birdie told me you were back in town. And by a birdie, I mean, of course, an extensive surveillance network I set up in the neighborhood surrounding your office. And I just had to reach out to you so we can work together again. I saw your glamorous performance on that Dark Matter stream, and you were positively divine. A legend. Such a natural talent that I decided I could forgive you for skipping town without telling me. Bad, Juno, bad. I have a case for you, of course. I know you'd never come by unless I did. So I've hired a rival network to kidnap me again. Message erased.
Mr. Steele, why'd you delete that? You didn't even let him finish.
I heard enough.
But he could have been a client.
A client? You think I should work for the Kanagawas again?
Well, not when you say it like that.
Just crawl back to all my old clients like nothing happened? Hell, why not give Valis Vicky a call? Or maybe I should walk over to O'Flaherty's tombstone and ask if he's got a job for me. Or hell, Saffron Farm is out of business, but there must be some pharmacorp out there in need of a stooge. And who cares if we just spent the last few years of our lives going after corpse like that, right? Just like old times, working for the rich and corrupt. Is that what you thought was going to happen, Rita?
Mr. Steele, you don't get to talk to me that way.
Why not?
Second,
as long as we're retreading old ground, why not?
Darlings, just your two favorite ladies on the line, here to congratulate you both on the very exciting venture we hear you have planned next.
Back to the PI game, eh, Steele? Like a career criminal.
Oh, Vespa, do be nice. Once a crook, always a crook, I say. And I just know you'll bring your new appreciation for bending the law to your old calling. I'm afraid we don't have a housewarming gift for you just yet.
We're living on retired time, and let me tell you, retired life is real good.
But we promise to commit a terribly impressive crime for you to solve sometime soon to make up for it. Although that said, you won't leave your first day back empty-handed. Our former pilot has asked us to deliver you a little something special. You'll forgive me for not mentioning his name. He's currently up to mischief that's gotten him in enough trouble that he can't afford to be seen with you directly.
It's in the bottom left drawer of your desk. You might want to update those locks, by the way. I'm totally out of practice, and even I could bust through them, no problem.
Oh, it's so lovely to talk again. And such a delight that you're so much closer to the Cerberus province these days. Let's do lunch. Somewhere 4 stars, at least. 3 courses, plus dessert, plus coffee. Plus we skip the bill at the end. Have I forgotten anything else, Vespa?
Yeah, if you're gonna come over, call first. Wouldn't want you to, interrupt anything.
Oh, Vespa. End of messages.
See, that was the message I was expecting. Mr. Steele, are you all right?
I'm sorry, Rita. I don't know what came over me. I'm just tired, I guess.
It'll take some adjusting, but you'll get there, Mr. Steele. I know you will.
I think maybe I need to close up the office for the night. We can look for clients tomorrow. I just need some rest.
Sounds like a good idea to me. Don't forget about that present in your desk, though, and you better show me what you got tomorrow.
I will. Thanks, Rita, for everything.
Good night, Mr. Steele.
Good night, Rita. Ow! damn chair's just as cheap as ever, too. Sure enough, in the bottom left drawer of my desk sat a package wrapped in plain brown paper, an envelope tied to it with a little twine bow. I recognized the handwriting on the letter inside right away.
Juno, I once told you that I was excited to see what you do next, and you have not disappointed. I will be watching you as I was when we first met. I hope that one day soon we will be able to use this gift together in person. P.S. Apologies if the wrapping paper is inappropriately festive. I was in a very good mood when I bought it. The newspaper clipping attached may explain why.
The global government of Heimdall has announced that they are in the early stages of ending their planetary protection contract with Dark Matters, citing the recent destruction of Outer Rim Dark Matter Space X329 by an unknown terrorist group as the primary cause. If Dark Matters cannot even protect their own bases from outside threats, paying them expecting they will protect us is only throwing away money better used on the people of Heimdall, said President Darvish in a press conference Tuesday morning. This marks the third planet in the galaxy to end their contract with Dark Matters over the past several years. Damn, big guy, you're really doing it, aren't you? Three planets down, a few billion to go. I peeled the brown paper on Jet's gift and saw it was actually two gifts in one box. A teapot the same green as the Ruby 7, and a canister filled with a loose, crumbly something that I assumed was tea. I've never been much of a tea guy, honestly, but it smelled all right. Like smoke and soil with a pear-like sweetness at the very end. I didn't want to go back home just yet. The apartment I'd found was still empty, unfurnished except for an insta-bed rolled up against one wall, and the hollow echo of my footsteps there just made my thoughts too loud to handle. So instead, I made the tea. It didn't take me long to realize I had no idea how the hell to make any kind of tea that didn't come as a freeze-dried instant powder. So I tried to remember all the times I'd been in the carte blanche kitchenette while the big guy was brewing it. Boiling water was involved, somehow. I knew, so I started some of that going. I remember Jet waiting by the plasma heater, filling the pot a little, letting it slosh around, pouring it out. I never saw if the water or the tea went in first, so I did a little bit of both, then waited. And while I was waiting, I could see them all so clearly. Jet humming nothing to himself while he poured the tea. Putty's laugh, big enough to fill the room and spill out into the hallway. Vespa stabbing at her food like it had personally wronged her. Rita shrieking because she realized she'd accidentally eaten a vegetable. And, of course, Nureyev by my side, trying to pass off whatever pond scum he'd mixed together as good eating.
The only downside to protein and slurry is, of course, the sodium content, but if you cut it with water and crack an egg in it, you can hardly tell.
I got lost in that thought for a while. I missed them all. But even more than that, I think I missed the feeling that there was always somebody close by just in case something went wrong. It was a tight squeeze, the carte blanche, and you couldn't breathe without elbowing the guy next to you, and it drove me nuts a lot of the time. But sometimes it's the things that annoy you most that you miss the most. I wish I knew why that was. Then I remembered I was supposed to be doing something about that tea. I was feeling low, and I hoped that the taste might remind me of them again. So I filled up a dusty coffee mug and tried it out.
Oh! Ow! Oh, God.
I don't know how the big guy can stand this junk. And let me tell you, that got me feeling even worse. I poured out the rest of the pot and went to return it to the drawer I'd pulled it out of. Only I got the drawer wrong. Bottom right instead of bottom left. And I found a little surprise in there waiting for me. Huh. A sealed bottle of Red Desert Tequila, my old go-to. Must have left it there before Rita and I started our life of crime. It wasn't that long ago that a full bottle of Red Desert would have gotten my mouth watering. But now, something about this moment, this office, the darkening night outside my window, the feelings already curdling in my guts, the sight of that bottle made me break out into a cold sweat. And before I could figure out where the hell that feeling came from, the darkness outside my window suddenly turned into white, screaming bright light. What the...
zombie? What the hell are you doing outside my window? I parked you on the street. Hey, where are you going? Ruby? Ruby? I took the steps up to the roof three at a time. I had a feeling I knew what this was about. And I hate to admit it, but my stomach was sinking already. I wasn't ready. I didn't know when I would be ready, but I sure as hell wasn't ready that night of all nights. Ruby? What's up? You want to go for a drive? Wait, slow down. I'm not following you. No more brain link after the blood filter machine, remember? You want me to get in? Okay. So, what's all this about? Without the ancient Martian junk swimming around in my blood anymore, the Ruby Seven and I were back to how we communicated way back when Nareyev and I first stole it in the Oasis Casino Resort, through the monitor on its dashboard. Already I was forgetting what it felt like to talk to the Ruby mind to mind. Whatever strange shapes its alien feelings had stretched my mind into were smoothing out, slackening back to where I started. Remembering how close we were. Remembering all the times I couldn't tell whose emotions were whose, sitting in that seat and not knowing what would come on that monitor next. I'm not sure I've ever felt so lonely. You have arrived at your destination. Yeah. You're right, Ruby. It was a hell of an adventure, but we really did it, didn't we? Everyone's safe now, and we even got a vacation out of the deal, but what? Set course for home. We are home, Ruby. This is my home, and I thought you might... Set course for home. Estimated travel time, 200,000 years. Oh, you mean that home. But you can't go yet. Everybody's still... I mean, Rito would just be heartbroken if you left without saying goodbye, so...
Are you sure you gotta go home, Ruby? Really sure? Oh, God. Make sure you tell Mr. Steele before you go. He's gonna... I mean, I'm gonna miss you so much, Ruby Seven. Goodbye.
So you said goodbye when she left the office earlier today, huh? And I'm guessing that means you're gonna track everybody else down before you go back to your galaxy too, Buddy and Vespa and all them. I don't think anybody knows where Jed or Nureyev are, but... Right, you can probably sniff them out, can't you? And... You've grown enough that you can make the trip on your own? You're not gonna, like, end up stranded between galaxies with nowhere to go? But then I guess I got nothing left to keep you here with, do I? And you should get to go where you want. Ruby, we've been through a hell of a lot together, haven't we? I wasn't always the nicest to you. Even when I knew what you were, who you were, it took me a while, but I just gotta tell you. You've grown up so much. I'm so proud of you, and hell, no matter how far away you get, no matter where you end up, we'll always be family, all right? Ruby? miss you too, Ruby. Really. Bon voyage, Ruby 7. Write me sometime.
200,000 years from now, I'm guessing P.O. Box desiccated remains of human civilization should get you there. I watched it as it took off in the direction of the nearest dome exit. Stood there and watched it as it became a tiny green speck in the distance. Then disappeared behind a floating billboard. Kept standing and watching for a while after, too. Well, that's enough for one crummy day. It was late, and I was in rough shape, so I decided it was probably time to throw in the towel and get whatever sleep I could manage back in my new apartment. So I made my way down to street level, cleared the layers of parking tickets off my piece of junk car, tried to start the engine, and, well, it didn't go so well. Come on. Come on. Stupid goddamn car. Start already. All right. Finally, something goes... Oh, come on! No, come on! Can I just get one? Can I please just have one thing? Come on! Ah! But, nobody needs to see that part. What's important is I decided to spend the night in my office, and I wasn't doing so hot. Before I knew what I was doing, I had my coffee cup in hand again. A few cloudy dregs of tea still pooled up at the bottom of it, and I was upending the bottle of Red Desert tequila into it. And I sat there for a minute, staring in the clear, quivering pool of liquor and wondering why the sight and biting smell of it were making me feel like a failure. It's not like I'd given up on drinking. On a Buddy Arinco ship, you're surrounded by liquor, or as she calls it, lunch. And that all-expenses-paid resort on Tangaroa included booze, so I definitely had my fair share. But there was something about this office, this feeling, this bottle that made my stomach do flips. Was I really back here again? In my office all night, getting drunker and drunker until I passed out on my desk, all because it was easier to swallow a drink than it was to swallow my feelings? A lingering leaf from the T-Jet's Kuliak pot me floated to the top of my mug. I still felt like garbage left to simmer on a stovetop. But that little reminder of him made me remember I still had something of his in this office. It was in my safe. A little burner comms from years ago, before I ever knew the big guy's name. And sitting next to it, a deactivated Thea soul. Possibly the last one Dark Matters hadn't destroyed. I shook the feeling off. The comms had what I was looking for. I found it and pressed play.
We may look backward, only to ensure we have not walked this path before.
I'm looking, big guy. I'm looking. I wanted that tequila worse than just about anything right then. But I told myself, I'll just listen to it one more time before I take a drink.
We may look backward, only to ensure we have not walked this path before.
One more time.
We may look backward, only to ensure we have not walked this path before.
One more time.
We may look backward, only to ensure we have not walked this path before.
One more time.
We may look backward, only to ensure we have not walked this path before.
Juno Steele, Hello? Juno Steel? Wake up, Juno Steel. Come on, it's time for you to wake up.
What the hell was that for? Who the hell do you...
Who do I think you are? Juno Steel, I hope. It says on the door that this is the office of Juno Steel, Private Eye, and a private eye is what I need right now.
I tried to talk, but it felt like someone had poured quick-setting concrete down my throat. Because the girl sitting across my desk from me, she looked just like... But it couldn't be. It was impossible. She looked just like Sasha Weier had back when we were teenagers. The expression, the eyes, the mannerisms, everything.
Hello? Mars to Juno, are you awake yet?
I must have really overdone it on the booze last night.
Excuse me?
This dream, you sitting there looking just like...
A nightmare this crazy doesn't crawl out from a sober mind. Oh, hell, back to your old tricks, huh, Steel?
It doesn't look to me like you drank very much.
Yeah? How do you figure, Miss Nightmare?
Your, mug of liquor is full. And that bottle only seems like about a mugful of it is missing. Unless there's an empty bottle somewhere around here and you desperately need your stomach pumped, I'd say you didn't drink anything at all.
Huh. Yeah, it kind of does look that way, doesn't it?
Where are you going?
Just dumping this out. So, let's say you're not a nightmare. Nightmare? The hell are you doing here, exactly? Or do you break into offices like this every morning just to feel something?
Your door was unlocked. I was surprised. I thought I'd have to wait outside for a few hours before seeing you.
A few hours? What time is it? 5 a.m? What the hell are you doing breaking into my office at 5 a.m?
Again, I did not break into your office, and I'm here because it's an emergency. You find people, right? Missing people?
Typically when I find them, they aren't missing anymore. What's it to you?
My partner has gone missing.
Partner? Isn't that kind of an adult word?
I'm grown up enough.
It sure sounds grown up. Me and the grown-ups in the grown-up club, we're always saying how grown-up we are.
Are you going to help me or just mock me?
All right, so your girlfriend is missing.
Boyfriend, actually.
Okay. Boyfriend. This mystery man have a name?
Reggie Caldwell. I have a picture of him, too. I could send it to you, but that's not your comms, is it?
What? Oh, right, that.
We may look backward, only
yeah,
to
shut up,
Artie.
This is my comms.
It's not much better.
Just send the lousy picture, will ya? Cute couple. You have any siblings? Older cousin, maybe? Last name Wire?
How is this relevant, exactly?
Oh, you know. Just PI stuff.
I would appreciate it if we could keep the joking to a minimum. Time is... We have very little time to find him.
You think he's in danger or something?
We have a trip coming up in 3 days. Off planet. I need him back by then so that we don't miss it.
Wait, hold on. Not to pry, but, you love this guy, right, Nightmare?
Of course I do.
Usually when somebody goes missing, it's a lot of crying and screaming about the little things, like... I don't know. What if he's dead? What if he's been kidnapped? What if I start receiving his fingers in the mail? What kind of postage you even put on a finger to send it through the mail?
Fine, yes, I understand. The tickets for our trip were very expensive. We've been saving up for a long time, and it would really be a shame if we missed it. And before you ask, the tickets are non-refundable.
Oh, they always say that. Show me the tickets.
I can't! Reggie has them!
So is this a missing persons case or a missing tickets case?
I think that should give you enough to go on.
Enough? Come on, Nightmare, we barely got started. I'm gonna need a little more info if you want me to find this guy. Has he ever disappeared before?
I don't see how that's relevant.
I'm pretty sure you do, actually. So is it not relevant, or do you just not want to answer?
Everyone's always jumping to conclusions about Reggie. It isn't fair. And he's been working really hard lately on improving himself. Really. Self-improvement, it's become a major focus for him.
So he has run away, I'm guessing a few times, but you're sure this time is different?
You don't believe me.
No, I believe you. Or maybe I should say, I believe your side. As for what's going on in Reggie's head, I'll just have to ask him myself.
Then you'll take my case?
Your case? Yeah, I guess I will. I will take your case.
Perfect. Thank you, Detective Steele. And now for your payment. Damn! It seems I've forgotten my wallet. Yes.
Don't sweat it. I'll take payment at the end. Just give me your comms coordinates so I can reach you later.
Comms coordinates?
Yeah. Or what, did you think you were just gonna keep showing up at 5 a.m. till I bagged your man?
Well, yes, actually.
That's a no-go, Nightmare. Gonna need some way of contacting you. Can't have you running out on the bill.
There. Will that do?
371. That's a Newtown area code, isn't it?
You can tell at a glance.
I got some personal history in that area. Is that a problem? You look disappointed.
No. No, that won't be a problem. We'll be in touch then. Thank you, Detective.
Don't mention it. Hey, Nightmare.
Hmm?
She looked back at me from that doorway, and for a second I felt so sure. That impatient look she had, the tough act she wore like a baggy suit. She looked so much like Sasha Weyer, here again, 18 years old.
Detective?
Never mind, I'll call you when I've found a lead.
All right.
Huh.
Oh, I'm so sorry, I was just... Didn't mean to mumble. I'll just take that as a no. Bye, have a good day.
Mr. Steele, what's that? Was she... Was that who it looked like?
No, right? She looked just like...
A client! Oh, Mr. Steele, did you find a client already?
Yeah, a client. I've got a client. Rita, I am sorry to say it, but I'm putting in my notice. I can't work for Rita Investigations anymore. I'm thinking of opening my own shop. Juno Steele, Private Eye. How's it sound?
This is agreeable to me. And without my only employee, I shall close the office of Rita Investigations immediately.
I'm sorry to hear that.
The business world can be cold and cruel indeed. But, on the bright side, I'm looking for a job again. You wouldn't happen to need a super secretary, would you, Juno Steele, Private Eye?
It depends. Does she have a criminal record?
An extensive one.
You're hired.
Oh boy! Rita and Mr. Steele, back in action!
You're damn right they are. Now, let's get moving. We've got a case to solve.
If you've enjoyed this tale, please consider supporting The Penumbra. You can do so by buying our merchandise. Just go to thepenumbrapodcast.com and click on the store tab. You can also make a one-time donation to The Penumbra via PayPal at The Penumbra Podcast. Or, if you'd like to keep our stories running in the long term, we hope you will support us on Patreon. Every dollar helps. At just $4 per episode or higher, you will receive ad-free episodes 2 days before the public release. At the $7 level, you will gain access to behind-the-scenes content and production scripts. And at the $10 level, you will receive access to commentary tracks like this one, from co-creators Harley Takagi-Kaner and Kevin Vibert.
A lot of why we do this is for the group of people that we work with.
Yes, very true.
And... we knew that it was going to be meaningful to people to have that old group reassembled for the end, rather than, you know, being in a new location with a lot of new characters and, you know, starting something different.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. It felt really nice.
Yeah, no, totally. And I don't... I'm reminded of this because of what you said about... We would like to give special thanks to all who support us on Patreon, but especially to Glowbug's gift to the Olala Memorial Scholarship, My Penumbra Hyperfixation is back at 100% power, Amethyst, The Corn Eye and the Lonely Ghost, Alexiu, Tori Zuza, Dandy Fine, aka Mr. Jetsakuliak's number one fan, Z's here, Pietro Juno, Spaghetti Mehmet. Jonathan Wilkes will miss OG Penumbra. Juno Steele and the Costco hot dog. Hi, my name is DJ and I love this podcast. Ari Berry, Jonah Steele, an intrepid lilac. Andy Bell, the Werners wishing well to Juno's journey. KCO, Juno G, Bettina Trevino, Alim Muktadir, Brittany Potter, Sophia and Juno. Thank you for the transgenderism, Juno Steele. The Emerald Eight, this podcast, haha. With love for the end and hope for the beginning. Nore, Kira, Jack M. Cohen, Paladin of Gawain, good boy of the Citadel, Girl in the Midnight Sky, Adrian Cadena. Thank you, Penumbra Team, for your amazing work. Braylon, Quintessence the Blood Gunk Brat, Hannah and Leah's Adventures in Gender Shenanigans, The Lady Guinevere, and It Always Needed to End This Way. Sydney bids a tearful goodbye to the Juniverse. Cobbled Vibrance, Jammy, Rachel, Osipete, Laura, Diana Cause, Benjamin Fisher, SCP Chloe, Desert Willow, and the finally getting them a napping place. Rachel Howard, June Gishoku, Skyfire Forever, The Lady Has Claimed Another One, Jay Hull, James Evelyn, The Bestest Detective, Liv Allen, Alice the Time Lord, In Memory of Spiral Opal, Eden the Gay Bookworm. Prydon thanks the Penumbra Podcast for getting her a girlfriend. So long, and thanks for all the gender. Michael David Smith. Goodbye, Sir Damien. Oh, honeysuckle, my honeysuckle. Kiki's Podcast Patronage Service. Amy Fist. Caroline Seidman. Shura is a guy in the same way that Juno Steele is a lady. Radia Sulna. Rain and Pippin from the Glen Dimension. Dr. B. Karen ZH, Genetic, Cortu, Menchowski, Ash, and Angel Acevedo for their incredibly generous contributions per episode. Thank you. This tale, Juno Steele and the Case Closed, was told by the following people. Joshua Elon as Juno Steele, Kate Jones as Rita, Noah Symes as Peter Nureyev, Leslie Drescher as Cecil Kanagawa, Sarah Gazdovich as Buddy Orinko, Chloe Cunha as Vespa Ilke, Alexander Stravinsky as Jet Sekuliak, and Harley Takagi Kaner as Nightmare. The Penumbra is created and produced by Harley Takagi Kaner and Kevin Vibert. If you wish to know more about the full production team, you can read about them in the show notes of this episode. I'm afraid that is our time for today, dear traveler. We hope you will join us again soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.